Blog Talk Radio.
It is Saturday, August 27th, 2016. I am your host, Brother Ben, from the battlefield city of La Crosse, Wisconsin. Excuse me. Just felt something tickling my throat there for a second. Gotta love when that kind of stuff happens. Oh, there it goes. I know, gross. Anyway, we're going to be looking at the book of Job. What a way to start the book of Job, huh? yeah, I know, I'm weird. I just woke up like maybe 10 minutes ago. Luckily, at least it was 10 minutes ago and I didn't miss the show. Sometimes I've done that before where I wake up like at 6:06 or 6:10 or 6:10. That's not even a number. Wow. Yes, my coffee's still brewing. I'm going to have to grab some here in a second because apparently I need it. 6:10, yes. It's funny. Anyway, let's get the book of Job started. We're going to read chapters 27 and 28, at least as much of that as possible, continuing our series on that. And hope you enjoy. Job 27:1 starts as this. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, "As God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment? And the Almighty, who hath vexed my soul? And all the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me." All right, so pause for a second. You remember how yesterday, for those of you who were listening to yesterday's show, how we did the book of Psalms? It was Psalm 39:1 that we talked about a new idea. It was, no, I don't want to click that button. It was, let me go to right now. I was going to do this differently, but we'll do it this way. All right, 27, let's remember, got to stay there. I'm trying to memorize it because I think it's a good verse. David said yesterday when we read Psalm 39:1, "I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me." Okay, you remember that? Well, Job's kind of saying something similar here. He says, "As the Lord liveth, who have taken away my judgment, and the Almighty who have vexed my soul, and while my breath is in me," in other words, as long as I am serving the Lord, as long as I live, now he's saying, "my lips will not speak wickedness, my tongue will not speak, will not utter deceit," meaning he won't say lies, and he won't say evil things. "God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove my integrity from me," meaning Job doesn't want to do the exact type of temptation that I warned about yesterday. The idea of saying something dumb or saying something out of sin in order to allow that to be something that the enemy uses as a aha kind of moment. Kind of using that as a weapon against us. "Oh, well, he just said that, or he just lied about that, blah, blah, blah." That's one thing the enemy loves doing. He loves accusing us, especially when he's right about it. And especially when he's not just right about it, but he made it happen. It's kind of like as though it's like that person who keeps egging you on and on and on at the playground. And then when you finally give them that first push in the playground, they tattletale on you and the teacher. And then you get in trouble because you happen to push that kid. That's the type of mentality that the devil, sadly, can do sometimes. Sometimes the enemy does that kind of cheap tactics. It's pathetic, but that's what our enemy does sometimes. Those are part of the enemy, whether it be those of the satanic mindset or whether it be his fallen angels. They want you to mess up, and they'll prod and goad at you like that. And Job's basically saying, that's exactly what you guys are doing. You are trying to make me mess up. You are trying to make me screw up so that you can be, aha, look what Job said. Look what Job did. Blah, 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 blah. Just like King David pointed out in Psalm 39, he's like, hey, Job's like, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to speak wickedness. I don't want to lie. Because I have respect for God, and I care about my reputation as being a man who loves God. I don't want to do that. And so, those two statements, Psalm 39:1 and Job 27, verses 1 through 4 here, those are important for us Christians to consider when it comes to how we talk to people. And oh boy, have I run into some people, some wicked people, who have done that. They've prodded and poked and prodded me about certain things, and then I'm the bad guy, because I happen to have a moment of weakness where I get angry, or I say something out of frustration. But yeah, we have to watch out for that. That's a very good lesson. Praise God for that. Okay, verses 1 through 5, I'm sorry, not 1 through 4 when I said that. So if you want to memorize verses 1 through 5, good idea. I would say more specifically, maybe not that entire statement if you're able to. My head can't do that entire statement at once. I probably would do, if I put this on learnscripture.net for today, I probably would do maybe 3 through 5. All the while my breath is in me and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid I should justify you till I die. I will not remove my integrity from me. That's a good thing. Maybe I should do that later. That's a good idea to memorize for the sake of regards to wickedness trying to get me to stumble. Anyway, let's move on. Verse 6. My righteousness I hold fast, and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me as so long as I live. Let mine enemy be as the wicked, and he that riseth up against me as the unrighteous. For what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he hath gained when God taketh away his soul? Kind of similar idea right there in regards to what Jesus said. What is the profit of man who gaineth the world but loseth his own soul? Very similar. You know, the idea of Satan trying to get you to be that hypocrite in order to live by the devil's rules, and yet it's at the cost of your own soul. You know, that's why Jesus, I think, said also the idea of those who seek their life shall lose it, but those who lose their life for my sake will gain life. I think that's one of the reasons why he said that. In addition, of course, to him referring to eternal life, but will God hear his cry when trouble cometh upon him? Will he delight himself in the Almighty? Will he always call upon God? I will teach you by the hand of God that which is the Almighty will not I conceal. Behold, all ye yourselves have seen it. Why then are ye thus together vain? This is the proportion of the wicked man with God, and the heritage of the oppressors, which they shall receive, of the Almighty. That was weird. His children shall be multiplied, for it is the sword. For it is for the sword. And the offspring shall not be satisfied with bread. Those that remain of him shall be buried in death, and his widows shall not weep. That's kind of sad, but in a lot of, not always true, but in a lot of cases, that actually is kind of true. Usually when it comes to the wicked, the only time I've experienced where they feel bad that one of their own has fallen is if it's somebody who, if it's somebody who's been benefiting him the whole time, you know, somebody who has been, you know, their sugar daddy, paying their bills, you know, giving them rides constantly, you know, somebody who basically is the gravy train. So when the gravy train closes, they're like, oh, no. That's what a lot of wicked people I've seen, if they get sad about somebody dying, either that or somebody who even they can't help but say this was a good man. You know, somebody who's a hero of society, that kind of person. Otherwise, a lot of the time, yeah, when it comes to the wicked, I've noticed if, like, let's say it's their father, they're not too upset. They're like, oh, well, I suppose it was his time to go. You know, and they just don't care, partially because maybe their parent wasn't, didn't treat them right, or maybe in another idea it's, oh well, I can take his money now kind of mentality, that selfish wicked kind of idea. It's not always the case. There's some wicked who do bawl their eyes out when somebody they know dies, but a lot of the times when it comes to the wicked man, his children might not necessarily care. They might be like, oh, okay, whatever. They don't cry their eyes out, a lot of them. Some of them will, but most of them, I would argue, don't. At least from what I've noticed in society. It's tragic, but it's true, you know. Or at the very least, even if with that grief, it's not the right kind of grief. It's more of a selfish kind of grief, like, oh no, my life's changed significantly, now this person's dead. Why do you have to die? Because now I have to do this. Blah, blah, blah. It's sad, but true for some people. I don't want to say all people, because there are some people who would legitimately get upset indeed, but I digress. Anyway. Let's continue. There we go. Though he heap up silver as the dust, and prepare raiment as the clay, he may prepare it, but the just shall put it on, and the innocent shall divide the silver. At times, this wicked man's wealth will be, at least in our society today, taken by the government and given to random parts of society, and in many cases, that might be the poor. Not always, could be for something stupid like an anthill in Africa or something like that. Like, I think Ron Kind did something like that, a local politician around here. I think he spent so many millions of dollars on an anthill in some part of Africa for research or something like that. It was something weird like that. I'm like, what the? Why are you spending that kind of money on something stupid like that? Or my personal favorite, when sometimes I hear politicians are like, oh, we need to have money. We have to pay this person, this consultant, so many thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, in order to give us an opinion about whether we should do this or not. A study, they call it. And I'm like, why don't you just ask the people what they think? Why do you have to ask somebody and pay them for it? Why don't you ask the people around town for free? Do a survey. Even, you know, if you want to spend a little money, give them, like, a free scoop of ice cream or something, or a free meal at a restaurant. You know, hey, we'll give you a free, all-expenses-paid trip to, let's say, the Wisconsin Dells, that's probably going to be like $500, if not $1,000, in comparison to $1 million or $10 million or whatever it is that they pay these people. Government's crazy sometimes, isn't it? sad but true. Anyways, enough of that random rant. I know I do that sometimes. I'm sorry. Maybe some of you enjoy those things, though. I don't know. You should comment on my Facebook or Twitter, by the way. What do you like most about these shows that I do? Do you like my strange and unique comments? Do you like the type of biblical materials that I point out? Do you like the type of things that we read? What kind of things have challenged you? What kind of things have encouraged you? I really want to hear your thoughts. Facebook or Twitter, facebook.com/beneficialministries or twitter.com/benjaminumnus, please, or even my Gmail, beneficialministries@gmail.com. I want to hear your thoughts. You know, I really do. Sometimes I wonder how many people actually listen to this. And, you know, like I said from the beginning, I want to do this primarily between the Lord and me, but if other people are inspired and encouraged by this, great. And, you know, but it helps a little bit when I hear some people's thoughts every now and then, you know. But anyway, he buildeth his house as a moth and as a booth that the maker keepeth. Or the keeper maketh. I mixed those up just now. The rich man shall lie down, but he shall not be gathered. He opened his eyes, and he is not. Terrors take hold of him, on him as waters, and a tempest stealeth him away in the night. The east wind carrieth him away, and he departeth, and as a storm hurleth him down out of his place. For God shall cast upon him, and not spare. He would fain flee out of his hand. Men shall clap their hands at him, and shall hiss him out of the place. Specifically, some will go, na 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 na, na 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 na, hey, 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 goodbye. Sometimes. Funny. I'm being weird. It's morning, okay? I just got my coffee just recently. Anyway, that's the end of Job chapter 27. Now let's read Job chapter 28. Surely there is a vein for the silver, vein, V-E-I-N, and a place for gold where they find it. Iron is taken out of the earth, and brass is molten out of the stone. He setteth an end to darkness, and searcheth out all perfection, the stones of darkness and the shadow of death. The flood breaketh out from the inhabitant, even the water is forgotten of the foot. They are dried up, they are gone away from men. In other words, it's talking about how men are soon forgotten. They might try to make themselves remembered and oh, so prestigious, but you know, they try to get remembered, and they're soon forgotten. Trying to make their money spread out. Oh, give me your money to make me look good, blah blah blah, or I'll make this really giant statue. A lot of people, even though there are giant statues of people, that doesn't necessarily mean that people remember them. You know, there's plenty of people when they look at the Washington monuments and they're like, "What the heck is that? Who is that for?" One thing I want to do before we continue, John Wesley, in my eSword Bible software, has this statement in Job 28:1 I want to read. Surely, Job, having in the last chapter discoursed of God's various providences towards wicked men, and showed that God doth sometimes, for a season, give them prosperity, but afterwards calls them to a sad account, and having them show that God doth sometimes prosper the wicked all their days, so they live and die without any visible token of God's displeasure, when on the contrary, good men are exercised with many calamities, and perceiving that his friends were scandalized at these methods of divine providence, and denied the thing, because they could not understand the reason of such dispensations. In this chapter he declares that this is one of the depths of divine wisdom, not discoverable by any mortal man, and although men have had some degree of wisdom whereby they could search out many hidden things, as the veins of silver and gold, yet this was a wisdom of a higher nature and out of man's reach. The caverns of the earth he may discover, but not the counsels of heaven. That's fascinating. That's very true. You know, there's some questions that we're never going to be able to answer. I wish that we could answer all the questions, but we can't. Why? Partially because we're human. Because our minds are limited. But also because there's some things that are just too complicated. They're too meant for it to be. You know, like some of the stuff that goes on in heaven. You know, some of the stuff that the angels talk about and the demon and the devils talk about. Why things were a certain way and so on and so forth. But it's very fascinating. You know, some of these things you could easily write a book about, I'm sure. You know, some of these type of ideas. The stones of it are the place of sapphire, and it hath dust of gold. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. The lion's whelp hath not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. He cutteth out rivers among the rock, and his eye seeth every precious thing. I skipped a verse. He putteth forth his hand upon the rock, he overturneth mountains by the roots. He cutteth out rivers among the rocks, and his eye seeth every precious thing. He bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that he hid, that is hid, bringeth forth he to light. But where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me. The seeth saith, it is not within me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall it be silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir and the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it cannot be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living, and kept close from the fowls of the air. Pause for a second. So, let's take that illustration a step further. This type of godly wisdom, it's not just something that cannot be found at times, that the Lord can only provide for us, that we cannot find anywhere else, but to take it a step further, it is so very valuable. There's a proverb, I believe, where it talks about wisdom being finer than silver, and I want to say it's Proverbs 3. I forget where it is. It's wisdom, the Lord provides wisdom and understanding, searches for deep, diverse treasures or something like that. I forget how it goes, but I can't help but be reminded of that just because that is indeed true. The Lord's wisdom is certainly precious, more precious upon any sort of earthly idol and earthly possession that we can think of. And boy, are those things that were mentioned a moment ago extremely valuable, especially even in today's day. Very, very valuable. Very valuable. You know, people search for this kind of stuff all the time. And
sometimes we're never able to find it. Or at least we can never find it by our own ways, I should say. It's one of those things that God is so gracious and loving enough to be able to provide for us by His grace. By His grace do we learn anything as Christians. By His grace do we even see the things that we see, hear the things that we hear, know the people that we know. Thank God for His grace. Really, thank God for His grace. That's something that we don't understand, and we just don't really understand how valuable it really is. Let's continue. Seeing it hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air, destruction and death shall say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and He knoweth the place thereof. And He looketh to the ends of the earth, and seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight of the for the winds. And He weigheth the waters by measure. When He hath made a decree for the rain, and a way for the lightning of the earth, then did He see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man He said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and depart from evil is understanding. Ooh, I remember that verse. When I was doing my learned scripture studies before, that was a verse that I had once memorized. I definitely need to go to learn scripture and type that in. By the way, that's the end of chapter 38 for our study. Yeah, I'm going to do that right now. Job 28. By the way, if you haven't heard yet, I greatly enjoy this website. It's learnscripture.net that I do. I haven't done it in a while, but recently the Lord had challenged me to do this Learn Scripture study site again. And when I've had this be complimenting with the show, It's been awesome. You know, I really have learned a lot, and I really enjoy it. I really recommend it. It's something that I never thought I'd be able to do, memorize scripture at all, because it just seemed like it was too hard. I'm always somebody who forgets things. I'm always somebody who can't remember what people said to the exact T, so I have to paraphrase in my head, and I often misquote because of that. And yet, for whatever reason, by God's grace, I'm able to remember certain Bible passages. And unto man He said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and depart from evil is understanding. Really good statement. So, if you want something to memorize today, we can do Job 28:28. And we can also do Job 27:3-5. That might be a more difficult of a doozy, but I think that's worth it. Be sure to tune in tomorrow. We're going to be looking at the book of... Let's take a look here. The book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapters 7 through 11. At least as much of that as possible, because... With those longer passages, we don't always get to cover the entire show. But we learn a lot from those things, too. So be sure to tune in tomorrow. Really hope you enjoy the study that we had. I'm definitely going to try to remember that. Job 28:28 for sure. I'm going to try 27:3-5. That's going to be a bit of a harder one for me, but I definitely am going to give it a try, you know, and I hope to see your thoughts and comments on the social media. Again, it's facebook.com/beneficialministries and twitter.com/BenjaminUmnis. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Love to hear your perspective. Or even my Gmail, beneficialministries@gmail.com. I love the idea of doing that, you know? That's one thing. If I could have two things, even if I had, like three listeners throughout, that would be the one thing that I would like, is occasional feedback like that. But, all right, that's all the time we got for today. Be sure to tune in tomorrow. Jeremiah 7 through 11.